improve our food supply, especially as many of, much of it's coming, about half of it, of our produce, for example, now comes from outside the United States. And so what the FDA has done very recently is create this food protection plan. It's a very comprehensive look at what we must be doing in the future to continue to assure that you're going to get the highest quality, safest food, and that you're going to make good choices about what you eat.
As you look to ensuring the safety of food coming across the borders and medicines produced in other countries, have you determined that the best way to do that is at the border as these goods come into the country or on location at the production?
Well, that's a great question, and because it really points out the fact that this is a systems problem for which we're going to have a system solution. So we've approached it on three fronts: prevention, intervention, and response. And so with regard to the intervention, we want to have good systems at our borders so that we can not just enhance the number of inspections, but to do it in the most strategic way. So we're doing it in what we call a risk-based approach. We gather intelligence. We gather information about those products, where they're coming from, what the nature of them is, what our previous experience has been. And that allows us to begin to see areas that are much more of concern than perhaps others. So certain kinds of products have with them the potential for being riskier. A very complex medical device as opposed to maybe something like a tongue depressor. So we target those inspections based on risk. But we don't and can't just depend on inspections. We also have to have very good early warning systems that if we see a problem, we can immediately respond and contain it. And we work very closely with other agencies like the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to pick up signals. But most importantly, as Susan has just pointed out, the real opportunity here is to build quality in at the very beginning, to make sure those products are absolutely perfect and the best they can be as they're being developed and produced. And so that prevention part of the spectrum is going to require us to change how we do things. We're going to have to get beyond our borders. We're going to have to work more collaboratively with the producers to build quality in, and that's our strategy.
Yukon, Oklahoma, good morning, caller.
Yes, thank you for Seeps Fan. I was just calling one to ask the good doctor if he would take drugs or food from someone who had threatened to murder him. And if he would, why would he expect the American people to? I think these standards would all be preset before they ever packaged the first thing. I'll get off and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Standards are extremely important, and as I've been alluding to in some of the answers to the questions, there are standards as it relates to good manufacturing practices for drugs, biologics, medical devices. And there are good agricultural practices as it relates to food. So we want to set those standards, and we want those standards to be based on science. Science, the accurate data and information about what works and what will get us the outcome we want has to be what guides what those standards should be. We're working to continuously improve those standards and enforce those standards so that we do make sure that products that you and I both consume, the drugs that I give my grandchildren in the middle of the night when they have a cold, are drugs that I have absolute confidence in.
For Dr. Von Eschenbach, who is the head of the Food and Drug Administration, the next telephone call is from Macomb, Illinois. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. I said I'd never get on.
Me too.
My question is, and it preceded by a short story, I hope, real brief story. I take an MOAI, monoamine oxidized inhibitor, okay, which is a very high-risk drug. When I went to my grocery store and talked to the butcher, he said he had no idea whether any of the meat that came down the line had tenderizer in it or not. So fortunately, we have a manna beef, and that's pure, and I'm able to eat that. Hy-Vee has now labeled every single package of beef that I cannot eat, which is everything except a manna, with tenderizer. Was that a law passed by you, or was that something that Hy-Vee did on its own?
I cannot speak to that specific issue or that specific example, but just in terms of the overarching principles that govern this, food additives, things that are added to food, are things that we do regulate to be certain that those additions to food are in fact safe. It's also important with regard to labeling that we provide information about things that are going to be contained in food that might present a risk to patients. For example, we require labeling for things that are allergens, things that could cause an allergic reaction. One thing that most people are aware of is the fact that people can be allergic to peanuts. So labeling, as it relates to you knowing what the ingredients are and what the additives are and things that could be of risk, such as allergen, are issues that FDA pays very, very direct and close attention to as part of our regulatory responsibility.
The kind of drug that she takes, the MOAI inhibitors that she mentioned, you often see those on over-the-counter drugs as cautionary for drug intermixing. I'm wondering about that kind of labeling as well and the FDA's responsibility for it.
This is an extremely important area that as we begin to think about drug-drug interactions and the fact that we now, as we are an aging population, many people are taking multiple drugs at the same time for medical conditions, whether
and
it's high blood sugar.
And from several pressure. Pharmacies as
and
well.
They can come from several pharmacies. One of the very important things that we're doing is collaborating very closely with Secretary Leavitt's healthcare initiative around electronic medical records and an electronic infrastructure for healthcare. Because we have to have systems that when you go and get that prescription filled, there is a way of that pharmacist being able to know all the other things that you are taking at the same time, precisely to be on the lookout for those potential drug-drug interactions.
Next question comes from our students in Lexington, Kentucky. Go ahead.
Hi, Susan. My name is Josh, and I'm also a freshman at Dunbar High School.
You've got pretty smart freshmen at that school. Good questions this morning.
Okay, I was wondering, what is the process of the over-counter drugs being given to people and how meth is being produced from the over-the-counter drugs?
Great question, Josh. There are two classes of drugs, if you will, as far as how we regulate them. One class is the prescription drugs. The other class is the one you just described, the over-the-counter drugs. In order for a drug to be available to you over-the-counter, it has to meet certain requirements and certain specifications that the FDA reviews before we will give it the manufacturer permission to market that drug over-the-counter. One of the things that's important is that you're able to read the label and the instructions and use that drug appropriately and that you will use it intelligently. So we are very thoughtful, careful about what we allow to be provided over the counter, but these are very important products that you need and I need in order to continue to stay well and to feel well.
Marietta, Ohio. Good morning, caller.
Yes, how are you? I'd like to ask the doctor one question. Is you say most of the drugs in the drugstores, they have never been approved through you, or actually, they've never been tested. But like a drug Neurontin, I was put on it and ended up, it actually made me mentally, because I ended up, I ended up trying to commit suicide. And there have been a lot of tests showed that people was taking that drug did go mentally, tried to commit suicide, but it was put out, and it never was put out or used for what it was put out for. The doctors really never told you what it was really put out for. Are they safeguards to prevent that from now on? Thank you. I'll listen to your answer on television. Thank you, C-SPAN.
Your question has two very important parts to it, and I'd like to separate them because I think it's really a very important issue that we're addressing currently. Many drugs that have been on the market for decades, many, many years, came onto the market before the FDA actually had its authority to regulate those drugs the way we do today. We've been going back systematically and looking at those drugs, especially addressing the ones that we believe are of particular concern. And if those drugs are not demonstrated to meet our current standards, then we will have them removed from the market. But many of those drugs have been around for such a long period of time with a very long track record of being able to be used quite safely and quite effectively that they really are not presenting the greatest risk. So we're focusing on the ones that really are the ones that are most concerned. The second part of your question is the fact that no drug can come on the market today without FDA approval. And FDA's approval process looks at the risk that could be associated with that drug, as well as the benefit that is to be derived from that drug for the indication, for the particular problem for which that drug is being proposed. So we'll approve a drug for, as we just recently did, for example, for breast cancer. Now, that's not to say that physicians cannot use that drug once it's approved for a different indication in a patient in which they, in a doctor-patient relationship, make a decision that that drug can have some specific benefit. So your interaction with your drug and your disease is something that must be managed by your physician. And FDA must be providing the oversight for the production and the marketing of that drug.
So it's appropriate for the agency to issue standards and guidelines, but you don't think it's important for there to be any enforcement mechanism if physicians use it in a different way than when it was intended?
Physicians in the practice of medicine, and the practice of medicine is highly regulated itself, and as a physician, I know that. I'm well aware of that. But also as a cancer specialist, I'm well aware of the fact that we have the opportunity to use these medications in unique and specific circumstances. They may not be the unique or specific circumstance that the FDA used in approving that drug, but can be extremely helpful for that particular patient. The word that's used for this is off-label utilization, and that's a part of the practice of medicine.
Can the FDA be sued?
Can the FDA be sued? Well, yes, it can. And the FDA commissioner can be sued as well. But obviously, the suits that we're talking about are suits that are related to the carrying out of the responsibilities of the office.
Next cell phone call's from Indianapolis. You're on the air.
Good morning. Interesting discussion. I just saw a very slick produced commercial for Celebrex that went on for about 2 minutes on a local station. And it mentioned several times, at least a couple of times, one of the side effects is death. And I wonder, how in the world can a medication like this be allowed on the market? We have 100,000 people die from prescription drugs when they're taken as prescribed. And then you have the advertising promoting it to the public, which are not really informed enough to know about these drugs. And I'm very fed up with the advertising and the fact that kids are then abusing prescription drugs much more than they're abusing illegal drugs today.
Let me take the very important issue that you raised at the very end, especially since we have a class of high school students who are participating in this. Teenage abuse of drugs is an extraordinarily serious, important problem. It's extremely important that parents be aware of making certain that medications they have in their medicine cabinets, for example, that are appropriate and needed for different medical conditions are not available to be abused and used inappropriately by teenagers. Having put that aside, let me directly then address your point about drugs that can kill people. It's extremely important we all appreciate that every single drug that's on the market has both risks as well as benefits. And in rare and certain circumstances, for many of those drugs, those risks can include even death. That is a part of a spectrum. What FDA is responsible for is evaluating the degree of risk and the degree of benefit and making decisions as to whether the risk or the benefit outweighs the risk for this particular purpose. Recognizing that in a very, very diverse population, there will be people who will react differently to that medication. And that's why the use of the medication has to be in the context of a doctor-patient relationship, not governed by anything else other than that.
Next telephone call or question is actually from one of our students watching us in Kentucky. What's your question and what's your name?
Good morning, Susan. My name is Joanna Renfields, and I am a freshman at Dunbar High School. And I have a... Ma'am?
Yes, and your question.
I have a question for Dr. Von Eschenbach. What are your thoughts on the fact that traces of drugs have been found in our nation's water supply, and what plans does the government have on bettering our purification system and preventing those drugs from getting into the water?
Thank you. It's a great question. And first of all, let me congratulate you. I really am appreciating how intelligent this class is at Dunbar High School.
You got your last name right, huh?
I got my last name right on the first try. That and took me a long time to get it. But on a very serious note, the issue of how we dispose of medications and other chemicals that could potentially get into our water supply is an extremely important issue. That is an issue that the Environmental Protection Agency directly oversees, and certainly something that the FDA would collaborate or participate in, but we do not regulate the water supply in the country. I think your previous guest spoke to some of those issues, if I'm not mistaken, but it's a different agency, but a very important problem.
And our next question comes from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Good morning. On the air, caller, go ahead.
Okay. If I understand you correctly, it's going to be harder and more expensive to inspect these drugs coming in from other countries. And these companies are sending these drugs overseas to be made because it's cheaper. Why should the taxpayer be made to foot the bill for the inspections? Shouldn't the companies be made to help foot that bill? Thank you.
There is a lot of discussion currently underway in terms of what sources of support, where the resources would come from to support many of these activities. And for example, there are user fees that the FDA collects from the industry that supports some of the regulatory process. But we do not allow the source of fees to interfere in any way, shape, or form with our regulatory responsibility. That we serve the American people. Our only responsibility is to protect and promote the health and welfare of the American people, irrespective of where these fees come from. I do want to kind of point out, however, that I don't necessarily agree that the fact that these products are coming from other parts of the world will make it much more costly and impossible for us to continue to assure their quality. I think we have to do business differently. We have to use different systems and work more collaboratively and cooperatively with our partners around the world who are heading up regulatory agencies. And I have ongoing interactions with my counterparts in Europe, in Asia, in South Central America, and all around the world, literally. And I believe we will be able to continue to assure the quality and the integrity of the supply chain because I don't think we're going to be able to change the fact that many of these products will be coming from beyond our borders, and we need to cope and deal with that.
As a cancer specialist, you know particularly of the frustration of some patients and the amount of time it takes for FDA